ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडीङ्ग् दि साधना पञ्चकम् दि फिफ्त् श्लोक. एकान्ते सुखमाश्यतां परतरे चेतः समाधीयतां पूर्णात्मा सुसमीक्ष्यताम् जगदिदं तद्बाधितं दृश्यताम् प्राक्कर्म प्रविलाप्यताम् चितिबलान्नाप्युत्तरैः श्लिष्यताम् प्रारब्धं त्विह भुज्यताम् अथ परब्रह्मात्मना स्थीयताम्. लिव् हैप्पिली इन् सालिट्यूड् एण्ड् फोकस् दि मैण्ड् एक्स्क्लूसिव्ली आन् गाड्. सी केर्फुली दि इन्फिनिट् सेल्फ् अण्ड् नोटिस् हौ इट् डिस्ट्राय्स् दिस् फ्लीटिङ्ग् एक्सिस्टेन्स् that we call the world. Through the power of consciousness, dissolve your past karma, remain unaffected by your later karma, and experience your present karma. In this way, remain established forever in the awareness of the Supreme Self. In our last class, we have been discussing about the 35th and 36th commandments. Purnatma susamikshyataam. You must see the whole universe as Brahman. Perceive the whole universe as Brahman. Then 36th commandment, Jagadidam tad badhitam drishyatam. Recognize that this finite universe is nothing else but Brahman. Like sublating the snake into the rope. Many times we chant as the Shanti Mantra. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते. देर् आर् नो टु. वाट् एक्सिस्ट्स् इस् द इन्फिनिट् अलोन्. बिफोर् रियलैजेशन् देर् अपियर्स् टु बि गाड्, मी अण्ड् दि वर्ल्ड्. आफ्टर् दि रियलैजेशन् देन् देर् आर् नो त्री. एव्रिथिङ्ग् बिकम्स् नाट् इवन् वन्. प्योर् एक्स्पीरियन्स् called also pure consciousness. When we examine, we find that an effect is nothing but the cause itself, but with a name and form. This world of matter is the consciousness supreme, just as the same water of the ocean appear as waves, bubbles, froth and foam. All these are nothing but the pure ocean and its expressions. Therefore, this world is not anything separate from the reality, Brahman. With this, the sadhana is over. The person doesn't remain a sadhaka. He becomes what we call siddha. And that these words, sadhaka, sadhana, siddha, are also purely from the phenomenal view, vyavaharika prapancha view only. Now, there are three types of liberation. One is called Sadhyo Mukti. As soon as a person has this knowledge, which is another name for Nirvikalpa Samadhi, then he would be completely separated from the body-mind and instantaneously he knows I am Brahman. Even he doesn't say, I have attained Mukti. He doesn't say, I was a sadhaka before, I was bound, now I am freed. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't experience anything. Then what does he experience? He simply is in human worlds. That is the state. That is the one kind of mukti. Then another kind of mukti is called krama mukti. Some people go from a lower state of consciousness to a higher state of consciousness. So some people, they say, they means the scriptures say, they go to Brahmaloka. And from Brahmaloka, he will continue his sadhana with the help of Brahma. And then along with Brahma, merges himself in his own true nature. This is called Krama Mukti, gradual liberation. In fact, I do not see any difference between an ordinary sadhaka like us. Why? Because we are also having Krama Mukti. Life after life, we progress a little bit. And then next life, we progress still further. And a day will come, will be completely free. And then there is the need to go to Brahmaloka. What is Brahmaloka? One great Swami has given a beautiful explanation. So in our Puranas, in our Upanishads, we get there is a higher world. In fact, that is the highest world in the view of the dualism. It is called Brahmaloka. But then, remember, Guru is considered as Brahma. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwaraha. So, according to this senior Swami, when a person is fortunate to get a great spiritual teacher, then he considers that teacher as Brahma and he lives in that knowledge. Then where is he living? Brahmaloka only. Then from that Brahma, in the form of the Guru, he attends the classes, his teachings, practices them, Guru corrects them, and along with Guru, by his grace, one day he will attain liberation. So we are also fall, everybody, in Krama Mukti only. But once that knowledge comes, for some mysterious reason, call Brahma, call Brahman, or call God by whatever name, that special divinity manifests in the instrumentality of that liberated soul. That is called Jivan Mukta. What does it mean? For everybody, that person appears to be living, talking, walking, eating, sleeping, getting angry, getting pleased, all these things. And he goes by the name of Jivan Mukta. Why? Because God keeps himself, that body and mind, for the good of the world, for the benefit of the world. So it is said, God does good to the world in two formats. One format, when a tremendous change needs to be brought about, he comes with an unimaginably superhuman power, and that is called avatara. God descends, as it were, or God's sat, chit and ananda, knowledge and power and bliss, it descends and it manifests in rare special type of bodies, because outwardly, as Ramakrishna says, the body of a Jivan Mukta and the body of an avatara appears to be the same. No, it is not the same. Sri Ramakrishna gives for everything a great simile for the facility of understanding. In Bengal, they make a kind of sweet. Inside, it is filled with beautiful kova, that is condensed milk. Outside, it could be made fried with the powder of dal, lentils, or it could be also with what we call wheat powder. Like that, different coverings could be there. From outside, they all appear to be exactly the same. But inside, some is stuffed with very ordinary lentils, some is stuffed with pure condensed milk. An avatara is like that. So it is said, what is called avatara purusha's body consists of 98% of sattva guna, 1% of rajo guna, 1% of tamo guna. And why say 98%? Why not say 100%? And why say 1% of tamas? There is a reason for it. Because Sri Ramakrishna used to say, an ornament cannot be made out of gold unless it is mixed, either copper or some base metal. The same way, an avatara cannot function unless there is some amount of rajas or tamas. But it is almost made out of pure sattva, every avatara. That's why they cannot stand certain things. Even the vibrations of impurities cannot be stood at all. Anyway, now we are coming to the characteristics of a Jivan Mukta. Who is a Jivan Mukta? There was a person, he had a body and mind, and he does sadhana, and through sadhana, he attains pure knowledge and he becomes free. But among all those who attain such freedom, that divinity keeps a few of these bodies and minds for the good of the world. That means that body mind still continue. So they are called Jivan Muktas, free even while living, living from the viewpoint of body as well as mind. Now, for all practical purposes, the Jivan Muktas live exactly like us. They feel cold, they feel heat, they feel happiness, pleasure, pain, there will be enemies, there will be friends, you may be surprised. Do Jivan Muktas have enemies? You have to understand that statement correctly. Do they feel enmity towards anybody? Impossible. Because they only see Purnatma Susamikshata. But other people may not like. There were many people who didn't like Sri Ramakrishna. There were many people who hated Swami Vivekananda, wanted to do away with him, even tried to kill him while he was in America. Of course, he was slandered terribly by Indians, by Christian missionaries, and many other people too, unable to bear his greatness. So there will be many people. Jesus Christ, did he have any enemies? Of course, they crucified him. Sri Krishna, how thousands of enemies were there who wanted, who would be very glad to do away with him. So he had to show special powers. Like Sri Krishna once showed his Vishwarupa to Duryodhana and others when they wanted to do away with him totally. Really, it's a very interesting story. If Duryodhana had succeeded in killing Sri Krishna, then there would not have been any Kurukshetra war. Because without Krishna, Pandavas would be absolutely nobody. So that is a wonderful thought. What about Sri Rama? What about Ravanasura, who kidnapped the Divine Mother herself? So every avatara, what about Buddha, his own cousin, tried to do away with him? So every saint will have people who do not like him and who consider him as a rival and even wish to do away with them. But then it is God, we have to say, who creates all these people. Why? God alone knows. But Sri Ramakrishna says, Jotil Kutil Nathakle Leela Oshayana. If there were no enemies, troublemakers, the drama will not be perfect. Only he understands what he means by that statement. But one thing we have to understand. How, even though there may be billions of enemies, how does a Jivan Mukta, because the body is there, mind is there, he seems to be acting and reacting, what happens to him? That is the special topic of description we are going to read now. Now, Shankaracharya is talking about the state of a Jivan Mukta, especially with regard to karma. Life is nothing but action and the results. This is one of the greatest truths. You have specially take note of it. What is it? Life is nothing but actions, reactions and their results. So, if there were to be no activity, nahi kshanam api kaschit, even one single moment, the body cannot live without work. Immediately it will go away. And if work has to be done, karma had to be done, there must be some want, some desire, some lack. So, this is what we discussed in our last class. So, all actions are divided into two categories. Dharma and adharma, punya and papa, good and evil. Good actions are produced, are done, bring dharma, and evil produces adharma. Dharma is transformed into punya and evil is transformed into papa. Punya gives happiness, sukha. Papa gives unhappiness and suffering called dukkha. Here, let me remind you what is punya and papa. Because we do not see them. They are called adrishta. They are also technically called apurva. So, what does punya do? Punya is the ability to squeeze happiness under any circumstances. We cannot squeeze happiness unless we did punya, even if everything is there. And what is papa? It is the capacity to squeeze suffering under even the bestest circumstances, if there is such a word called bestest. So, this much we have discussed in our last class. Now, in this class, can a Jivan Mukta do any karma? Because body is there, mind is there. So long as body, mind is there, we can see actions from morning till evening, getting up, eating, drinking, sleeping, resting, doing something, talking, including killing. That's why Bhagavan Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita specifically mentions, even if an enlightened person kills the three worlds, he will not incur anything, neither good nor bad. Why do I make such a statement? Because the moment we people hear killing, we only think that we are only doing some papa. This is a misnomer we have to correct. If a person kills an evil person, a murderer, a person who is about to harm, do greatest harm to other people, killing such a person is a punya karma. But to kill good people, people who do not deserve it is called papa karma. So, Saiman Hatva Lokan, it is said, an enlightened person, even if he kills the entire universe, he will not incur any papa. It doesn't touch him at all. Why does this happen? So, the crucial question, please note down, can a Jivan Mukta do any karma? Can a Jivan Mukta do any karma? Now, if anybody has to claim, I am doing a karma, an action, certain conditions have to be fulfilled. What are the conditions? Here is one. First, he must be identified with the body and mind complex. Why? Two reasons. Because the results can be reaped only by the body and mind. This is a very important point when we are talking about experiencing sukha or dukkha. Who does it? Does the body do it? Does the mind do it? Yes. Or does the soul do it? The soul has nothing to do. He is in Nitya Sakshi, Shashvata Sakshi. He doesn't do it. So, what is the first condition? In order to do karma and in order to reap the result of the karma, the very first condition is one must feel, I am the body and I am the mind. Second reason, first reason is because karma can be done only by the body mind, not by the atma. Second, the results of karma can be reaped, experienced only by body and mind. It is the mind which says, I am happy, I am unhappy, I did good, I did evil, etc., etc. Okay, second reason is, second, when a person, even though body, mind are still there, cannot be considered doing anything when he is sleeping. What does it mean? He must be completely aware, I deliberately want to do this. That is the second condition. One must be completely aware. And this has very surprising consequences. There is a kind of disease where a person does everything normal while asleep. They are completely asleep. Then they get up and then they dress themselves. They enter into their car, drive, go somewhere, do something including murders and then come back. And then again go to bed. And when they get up, they do not remember anything at all. This is a very peculiar case. So, if anybody is caught doing that, then can they be charged? You have done something wrong, or for that matter, you have done something good. Can they be punished? Can they be rewarded? Because the person is not pretending. Really, he doesn't have any memory. This is one case, case A. Case B, there are certain people who are called multiple personalities. This is a well-known psychological disease. In that multiple personality, suddenly a person is taken over. You know, as a simple example, I can tell the example of a person who is possessed by a ghost. And then he can go and do anything he wants. Now, I'll give you, you can say, a bit of funny experience. Sri Ramakrishna was one day singing at the Dakshineswar Kali temple. Rani Rasmani, who was the owner of that entire temple complex, she was very fond of listening to Sri Ramakrishna and she knew Sri Ramakrishna was the greatest spiritual person on earth. There are many incidents, I will not go into it, it's for you to meditate upon. But just I will give you, a hint I will give you. When the image of Sri Krishna was broken by carelessness or slip of the mind of Kshetrana, the priest, then everybody was wanting to throw it away because according to the scripture, a broken image only brings inauspiciousness and cannot be worshipped. But some intuition told Rani Rasmani that they should seek the advice of Sri Ramakrishna, who was nobody, not even a priest at that time. Then he was consulted and then he was asked, And he said, if one of the Rani's sons-in-law breaks his leg, will she throw him out and get another son-in-law, or will she send him to a doctor and try to repair that leg? What a wonderful contrast, an image here. For whom? For us. But a living Krishna for whom? For Sriram Krishna. So, Rani accepted. Madhur Babu accepted, who was an English educated person. And then what we need to understand here is, in those days, they were all superstition ridden. Remember the whole story of the construction of the Dakshineswar temple. It was full of these dramatic events. In those days, to intuitively accept the judgment of this unknown young Brahmin, who was practically nobody, and to act upon his advice and go on worshipping that image which was repaired and repaired by Sri Ramakrishna himself, that was, nowadays we can never even accept it. And the consequences are extensions of this kind of mentality are going on even today. Most people in most countries are brainwashed. And when they are brainwashed, the first thing that goes out is rationality. And that is why you sometimes wonder, are these people, do they lack the power of rationality? Any man in his ordinary senses can understand the truth immediately. How come these people are completely incapable of understanding anything? But anyway, I'm just mentioning it because this is a big subject by itself. Psychological effects is a big subject. So, what is important? Now, a person, if he has to think, if he has to do any action, first, he must have body-mind. Secondly, he must be completely aware. Not only that, that will not do. He must not be unconscious. He must not be sleeping. And third, point C, he should not be forced. I often make a beautiful example. Supposing one day you are carrying some amount of money, quite good amount of money to the bank, and somebody comes to know, and it is your hard-earned money, you want to deposit in your bank, and then you want to maintain your family. Somebody comes, puts a gun behind you, and brings you to a religious organization and donate it, either to Red Cross or something like that. Now, the person had no option. He has to donate, otherwise his head will be blown off. Now, question for all of you to ponder. Who will get the punya phala? Does the person who gave the money, or does the person who made him give the money? What are we talking about? The person must have a completely conscious motive. That is to say, what are the 3 points? He must be completely aware. He must not be asleep or something like that. And he should not be forced by anybody. It must come from within oneself. This is the second condition. Third condition is, whenever a person wants to do any action, no action needs to be done, cannot be done, unless there is a desire. And a desire invariably springs from its cause. What is the cause? I lack something. I do not have something. And without having that something, I feel I am incomplete. So that restlessness, I want to become complete. That's what makes him desire. So that sense of lack, this is what we have to understand. So therefore, we must understand is for thinking that we have to do something, 4 conditions must be fulfilled. What is the first one? There must be body-mind. What is the second one? We must be fully aware, not unconscious. What is the third thing? There must be a desire. What is the fourth thing? Every desire, because we feel intensely that there is something lack. Simple example is, I am very hungry, I need food, I lack food, so I desire food. Or, I am thirsty, I want to drink water. So, these are the 4 conditions. Only when a person fulfills these conditions, can he reap the results of any action that are done. When these 4 conditions are fulfilled, then he becomes what Vedanta calls, I am a Gnata, I am a Karta, and I am a Bhokta. In Vedanta, I am summarizing the 4 above conditions. What are they? I am a Gnata. I must know. I am a limited being. I lack something. I need something. and I want to acquire that something, this is called Jnata. And then second condition is, it must be put into practice with the help of the what is called Antahkarana and the 10 sense organs, 11 sense organs, mind and then Pancha Jnanendriya, Pancha Karmendriya. So that is the Karta. I am the doer. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. There was a Brahmin and he was a lover of plants. He tended a beautiful garden. One day a cow came and it ate his precious plants. So the Brahmana killed, and the sin of killing that cow came to possess him. He knew a little bit of Vedanta and he said, "Then I did not kill, my hands killed." And then the Papa went to Indra, because Indra is supposed to be the presiding deity of the hands, etc. Now, you recollect that story, that amply illustrates. If I do not feel I am the doer, then actions will not come to him. He will not do anything and the results naturally will not come to him. That is what is called Bhokta. Bhokta means what? I am the enjoyer. This beautiful idea, I am the Jnata, I am the knower, I am the doer, and I am the experiencer, or we call it enjoyer. That's why Ananda means that which enjoys everything, Sukha as well as Dukkha. Now, this Bhagavad Gita says, Yayenam veti hantaram yaschayenam manyate hatam ubhautau na vijanito nayam hanti nahanyate. In the second chapter, Sthita Prajna Lakshana is telling about it. He who thinks I am the killer and he who knows I am going to be killed. Remember, a person who has been killed doesn't have a mind to think, I was killed. It is only before dying he feels, somebody is coming with a gun, with a knife, he is going to finish me off and I am going to be killed. He actually, after he dies, there is nobody to come and say, I am the killer. Okay, he who thinks I am going to be the killer and he who understands I am going to be killed, that is the viewpoint, a knowledge of a ignorant person, samsari. But what is a knower of Brahman does, I am neither a killer nor a killed person. Why? Because there is no subject, there is no object. There is no dichotomy, division between the experiencer and the experience. Remember, always knower knowing, experiencer experiencing, all these drik and drishya, the seer and the seen, the subject and the object, all these only when we are in the condition of ignorance, not otherwise. Now, what was Sri Krishna telling? That such a person, sthita prajna, he doesn't say, I am a doer, I am going to kill means, I am not the killer means, I am not the doer. I am not the killed means, I am not the experiencer of the somebody's result or my own karma phala. This is what both of them will not be there. When there is no knowership, doership, experiencership, and that is exactly the state of a Jivan Mukta, then where is the question of his doing karma? It doesn't arise. But for us, he is doing everything. Sometimes he suffers, sometimes he enjoys. Sri Ramakrishna had cancer, Christ was crucified, Krishna was killed. So also we get all these things. So coming back, the theory of karma involves all these things, and I only touched the very brim of this theory of karma. It's a huge subject by itself. Here are the conditions we said, and a Jivan Mukta doesn't fall under these conditions. As an example, I'm just giving, even secularism, means even ordinary governments, recognizes that a minor, that means a child, a mad person, an insane person, and one who is forced to do a reprehensible deed, they are not held to be responsible, they are corrected, but they are not punished. That's why many, many murderers try to plead and prove that they are insane or mad. Once it is proved, they will go into lunatic asylum and they will enjoy things. But after some time, they pretend that they have become all right and then they come out. What is it we are discussing? A Jivan Mukta doesn't fall under any of these conditions. Okay, then what happens? Before a person attained that state of knowledge, he had done lot of things in his previous karmas, and prarabdha in this birth also, he is like anybody else, like any body and mind. He has to eat, he has to drink, he has to protect himself from diseases, etc. They are all karmas. What happens to him? This subject is being discussed for whose benefit? Not for a Jivan Mukta's benefit, but for those who are aspiring to become a Jivan Mukta. Remember always, when the characteristics of a Sthita Prajna, a Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul are being described, they are not for his benefit, but they are for our benefit. But how do we know? Because by observing those people's lives, we come to know, oho, a Jivan Mukta behaves like this. To start again or restart again, a Jivan Mukta doesn't fall under any of these conditions. What are the conditions? I am not the knower, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. The results of all actions are divided into three classes. This subject I discussed in considerable detail in my last class. What are they? Sanchita, Prarabdha and Agami. And every bound soul's life is consisting of is accumulated results of actions and the results which have started in this life with this body, with this family, with this social status, with this power, with this knowledge, and it continues until the wheel stops. That is called prarabdha. And while living before realization and after realization, still the body is working and some sinful actions will be done even with this body, mind of a Jivan Mukta. For example, when he is walking, some insects, some small creatures under his foot, they could become what is called Mukta. Ramana Maharshi used to say, I have given liberation to many small, some rats used to live above him. He would not allow them to kill. They give birth and they fall there, small babies. And Ramana Maharshi was sleeping. He will move from side to side. And after some time, what will they get? He funnily said, I have given liberation to them. Means, this body has been responsible to kill them. That's what he means. But if you take in a spiritual sense, to be killed by such great people is a kind of spiritual help also. Unconsciously, without intention, many sinful actions will be done. And a grihastha does it while husking grain, while what you call making powder of wheat, etc., while frying, while walking, while eating, while drinking. That is why one of the functions of the Pancha Yajna is to get rid of the sin. One automatically accumulates because of these unconscious doings. As I said, that even unconsciously, something wrong can be done. Now, what are we talking? How does a Jivan Mukta act and react? Really, he doesn't. But for our benefit, the Shankaracharya and scriptures tell us what happens. So, how do the results of actions fructify or manifest in the life of a Jivan Mukta? This is being discussed in the next three verses. Why three verses? Because one deals with Sanchita, another deals with Agami or Prarabdha, another deals with the Prarabdha separately. Does a Jivan Mukta suffer from Prarabdha? Or does he experience, when I say suffer, see, body itself is suffering. Very, very interesting word. Buddha said, life is full of suffering. Is it really full of suffering? Is there no happiness? Is there no enjoyment? Did he not enjoy? He was the son of a prince. He was a prince and he married one of the most beautiful girls and he was enjoying music, royal food, everything. How could he say? He was not talking about what is called the type of happiness, unhappiness, sukha, dukkha, ordinary people go through. Sita, Ushna, sukha, dukkha, mana, apamana, heat and cold, respect and censure, etc. He is talking about existential suffering. And this existential suffering has been summarized in Vedanta in two words. These are called Shat Bhavas, six modifications. Janma, Asti, Jayate, Vardhate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Vinashyati, according to Yaska. Whether a person is a saint or a sinner, rich or poor, scholar or illiterate, everybody has to go through these sixfold changes. Everybody has to go. What happens to a Jivan Mukta? Does he experience it? Suffer is not the correct word. Does a Jivan Mukta experience Sanchita Karma, accumulated results, or Prarabdha Karma, or Agami Karma? The simple answer is no. Why? Because he doesn't even know that a body and mind really exist. Even if he is aware, he doesn't identify. He is an eternal witness. This is what I mentioned once. Swami Turiyananda said, a Jivan Mukta witnesses the waking state, dream state, and dreamless state. The body mind go through those states. Don't make any mistake. A Jivan Mukta will not always be awake only. His body will have to sleep. It sometimes has dreams. All the three states common to like anybody. But there will be certain differences. Two such differences are mentioned in the scriptures. One difference is a Jivan Mukta. Does he dream any horrible dream? A beautiful Miss Universe comes and tempts him. It is not going to happen. If at all he dreams, he will dream only divine dreams, God, etc. Second question is, even how does he react? Even while dreaming, he witnesses it. Oh, just as we witness a drama, a cinema, he is witnessing waking state, he will be witnessing the dream state, he will be witnessing even the deep sleep state. We cannot understand. Why? Because when we are in deep sleep, we are unconscious. But this Jivan Mukta, he is conscious and unconscious at the same time. Am I contradicting myself? No. What we call his body, his mind, is in this state of Sushupti, but at the same time, he is witnessing, this body and mind, at this time, it is in deep sleep. At this time, it is dreaming. At this time, it is awake. The dream state, recollect, they are very important points. A Jivan Mukta doesn't dream anything ignorant. He will only dream, if at all there is a dream, divine dreams. Why is it? Because for lives together, he has been thinking positive thoughts, he has been thinking spiritual thoughts, he has been meditating deeply upon his Ishta Devata, he is only thinking about God and what are our dreams made up of, whatever we think of in the waking state, etc. Therefore, his dreams will be only divine dreams. Secondly, it is all good or bad, whatever it is all nothing but pure manah kalpitas, imaginations of the mind. This is the difference, but he is ever the witness, the ground of all the three states, which is beautifully said, Turiya Avastha. The present question we are again going into, does he suffer from Sanchita? No. Does he suffer from Prarabdha? No. Does he suffer from Agami? No. And why does not he suffer? Because he absolutely, he doesn't feel, I am the body, I am the mind. That is the simple reason. Even we do not reap the Sanchita, Prarabdha and Agami results of anybody else. Not to speak of a Jivan Mukta. We are here. I don't experience the results of actions. You don't experience. Only this one particular body, mind, only we experience. And that is also overwhelming. Okay. Sometimes married people, you know, they identify themselves and that's good in a way. But if their children are happy, they are happy. Children are unhappy, they are unhappy. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they are happy and these people are happy. This is how we go on accumulating our prarabdha. When we are talking about karma, what are we talking about? We are talking about karma phala. In the past, Hinduism believes in reincarnation, many, many births. That is where we are talking about Sanchita. That is how we are talking about Prarabdha. What happens to the actions that a Jivan Mukta does until his body falls off. These are the points being discussed in the next 3 verses. Above all, can a Jivan Mukta do any evil action? Or for that matter, does he do any good action? What is the short answer? He doesn't do any action, good or evil. But sometimes what we call an action which we think is evil be done. I have shortly before answered that question. Hatvapi saiman lokan nahanti nabadhyate. Such a person, even if he destroys the entire universe, he neither incurs any sin and thereby he is affected in any manner, he is not bound at all. He is a mukta, is completely free. No, does not a Jivan Mukta does do any good to this world? No, he doesn't do. Because if he thinks I am doing, then he has to think I am also doing something bad. Then who does it? It is only God, the divine power, through his instrumentality, that's what does it. We must take one particular point and keep it in mind, because there has been a very vague understanding about this. All right, here is a person who is a sadhaka, he is slowly progressing, and all these 3 accumulated results and the actions already being reaped in this life, and what he is doing now will be giving the fruits in future, either in this life or in the next life or lives. All those things will be there before realization. And after realization, he has nothing to do with this body and mind. What happens to all his actions? Do they disappear? Just as a musician says, just claps his fingers and then all the things, rabbits, everything disappear. Please note, they do not disappear. Every action must bear its fruit, must exhaust itself. But this Jivan Mukta will not be reaping those results. Then who will be reaping them? In Tattva Bodha, we get this beautiful idea. What are we talking about? What is this? This person will get here. First of all, there will be sanchita, some amount of papa karma, some amount of punya karma. One important point. I am mentioning because these are all very important points. First of all, what is the percentage of a Jivan Mukta's papa karma and punya karma? Is it 90-10? That is to say, papa is 90 and punya is 10. Is it 50-50? Punya 50 and papa 50. Or is it 10 and 90? 10% papa, 90% punya. No. Figuratively speaking, I have to say 1 versus 99. What is that 1? Unconsciously done. Evil result. And 99% good result. Why do I say so? Why do? Because even in our lives, as soon as we become, turn to spiritual life, what is the first thing we do? Stop all evil actions. And then try to do all good actions. And this Siddha, perfected soul, for so many past, how many? According to scriptures, hundreds of past lives, he has turned to his face towards God. He has been doing only good karma. That's why just before perfection, his good karma, or results of his good karma, punya will be 99%, and a little bit of papa will be there. And even now, when he is walking unconsciously, he can also create some harm to other creatures, etc. We all do that, even when we drink water. So, this Jivan Mukta, he is not affected either by Sanchita Karma or Prarabdha Karma or Agami Karma. So, certain important points I have been pointed out. Karma Phala will not go simply like that. So, what happens in Tattva Bodha, which is only the essence of many other scriptures, especially Advaita scriptures, it gives us 2 hints. What happens? The karma phala will not disappear. Whose karma phala? The person who had become perfect. Before becoming perfect, he must have accumulated lot of punya, and he must have also accumulated a little bit of the papa. What happens? Clearly, the Tattva Bodha tells us, those who worship him, those who really praise him, praise means not flatter, appreciate him, serve him, tries to make his body, mind a little bit more comfortable. Because mind you, that when a person is swimming in the bliss of Brahmananda, you cannot add to it, you cannot take away from it. But making the life of such people. That's why Sri Ramakrishna, whenever he used to visit some devotee's house, used to ask him, give me a glass of water at least. So, all that, these people, according to their receptive power, and receptive power comes according to how much they serve him or open to him, they receive their punya phala. Now what happens? These are spiritual aspirants who gather around a Jivanmukta or even an avatara purusha or acharya. Remember, according to Hinduism, these mukta purushas are divided into four categories. Jivanmukta, acharya, nityamukta, and avatara. So these people who gather round him and get benefit, they get the punya. Now another question that arises is, if these people are getting punya, will they go into Swargaloka and enjoy heavenly happinesses? No. In the case of these people, this punya brings them further spiritual circumstances like a human body, like greater desire for spiritual progress, and also very favorable conditions for the spiritual progress. That is how punya will be converted into spiritual aid. That's what we have to understand. And invariably, inevitably, there would be people who go on, what you call, slandering them, censuring them, criticizing them, even trying to do bodily harm. Sri Ramakrishna was kicked by the family priest of Madhur Babu, and Swami Vivekananda was condemned, slandered like anything else. We will never experience it in our own lives publicly. And how much harm, really, I should not say that. It is all Divine Mother's will. They have done, we do not know. So, they will get the papa. If you are unhappy, some people have criticized Swami Vivekananda, be happy now. And I will close this talk with this. If somebody praises you, be completely alert, because it might make you more egotistic. Most of the time, we have nothing to be praised for. But if somebody criticizes you, he is doing good in three different ways. First of all, he is giving the advice which a psychiatrist will give you after charging you £100 per hour. Free advice. If it is not true, he is giving you the opportunity to develop what is called sahishnuta, forbearance. And third point of view is what Vidyaranya Swami says, if someone criticizes you and without doing anything, without expending time, money or energy, you are giving him so much of happiness, let that person be happy. But I am happy to conclude that if you have done any papa, let this person get according. So if you want, indirectly encourage him to criticize you more, so that more of your papa will be taken away. Anyway, this is just I am making fun. Do not take it too seriously. So, we discussed about what are the conditions of karma phala. How does it come? Only a person who feels, I am the knower, I am the doer, and as well I am the experiencer. Such conditions do not obtain in the life of a jivanmukta. But there will be karma phala which cannot be just made to disappear. And they will be distributed, rather they distribute themselves by those who serve him, please him, and upon whom he becomes very pleased. Punya will come, and those who censure, criticize, try to pull him down, put many obstructions, they will get his papa phala, and thus freed from punya and papa, he remains there. So it appears to us. Why do I say so? Because Jivanmukta is already free, there is no more karma for him. But for our sake, Shankaracharya in three more verses is going to tell us how a Jivanmukta, one who is aspiring to become a Jivanmukta, should deal with the results of these three, Sanchita, Prarabdha and Agami. Remember, the most important point, life is nothing but action as well as reaction. We will discuss these points in our next class, which is day after tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। मे श्री रामकृष्ण होली मदर एंड स्वामी विवेकानंद ब्लेस अस ऑल विथ भक्ति।